from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
So this guy, Bob from, let's see where he's from, the BT Steel Curtain, whatever the hell that is, and Sporting News. He's one of these guys that's got 97 different outlets he does stuff for, whatever. Slippery Rock grad. Tweeted out, and I want you to tell me if is this a parody or if this is actually, if he's being serious. Someone explain to me who Smokey Robinson is, like I'm five. He's at Steelers camp today. I have no idea who he is.
Well, I'll do some research. Well, do
some research if you're him.
Do you believe that somebody who is over the age of, say, 15 doesn't know who Smokey Robinson is? Hold up. City Limits, do you know who Smokey Robinson is?
Yes, the singer.
Okay, thank you. Do you believe this guy really doesn't know who Smokey Robinson is, or... it's just an act for Twitter engagement and followers, and it's helped because we've all like sort of responded to him. You can't be serious. So now, you know, he's got a bunch of people that actually he's on their radar. Do you believe that he? If you read his responses, I actually don't believe that he didn't know who Smokey Robinson was.
Everyone wants to get likes and retweets and engagement, and this is what happens when you do it.
Yep.
I mean, there are certain names that are iconic regardless of your age. You should know them, you know? And if you just take time to investigate more things and research more things, this applies to everything in life, you'd be more equipped to make a better determination of whatever it is you're trying to determine.
Right. It's just amazing. It's amazing to me. It really is. Nevertheless, he was there. And he also did a concert. You were there, Saturday night? Him and Pitbull did a concert or something? Mm-hmm. Saturday night?
Yeah, very good for HM3 Independence Fund, yes.
Okay. So there's that. But the story so far in training camp has been that quarterback one, that would be Russell Wilson, is not practicing yet. And he's not practicing because apparently he strained his calf.
Yes.
Or something while he was pushing a sled in I guess warm-ups of some sort.
I don't think it was one of those sleds that offensive linemen will hit, but it was a sled nonetheless. And I don't ever recall quarterbacks pushing anything up there. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah. There are certain things they do, but maybe it's something we don't see, but I don't recall much of that. Now there's a new training staff, strength and conditioning staff in place, I think. So maybe that's a new technique. I don't know.
Right.
But he's 36. I don't know if he needs to push sleds around. And I also don't know how, you know, this is one week into training camp. We're still a week and a half away from the first preseason game. And, you know, he didn't practice. Okay. I don't know how much I expected him to practice, though, Paul, at age 36.
Right. I just thought, but my point is, it's early. They're still doing the football in T-shirts and shorts, although it's starting to get real here.
Right.
And all that other stuff. So my point is, if you look at it, it's not that significant yet, but are you starting to get at least a little bit nervous about it?
Well, I mean, he's 36, and this is why there's a little bit of that going on. But again, I'm going to wait until they do these preseason games, because even at 36 and even given his track record, I think he needs time with this group, both he and Justin Fields and anyone else who's new here. You can't just not have them on the field because, well, we know Russell Wilson can play. This is a whole new group. There has to be some, time together so that they can actually, you know, have some sort of chemistry. You can't just do it in training camp. And that's why I expect to see. If he doesn't play in the first game and it's still a lingering issue, then that's a concern. I remember when Najee Harris had his, you know, foot, and Mike Tomlin downplayed that. But it turned out that, you know, halfway through the season, then he had like a screw or a plate or something put into that foot. So
right.
It was worse than, you know, they make it out to believe. And I'll say this, coaches at this point do not have to reveal anything. They are not required until the season starts about injuries and whether or not guys right. are in and out. So there's no designation other than he'll be fine day to day. We'll see.
Well, I mean, I think that's the key. I don't think I'm really, really that concerned about it. But as you start to go through this now, you would think a new quarterback who is, you know, it's a brand new offense, which means everybody's learning it. And I know it was installed in OTAs and all that, but now everybody's kind of learning it. You're trying to learn personnel. You're going to try and learn, you know, who's going to be what spot on your offensive line. You know, the receivers are learning. Everybody's learning this, and your quarterback is in a baseball hat.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that comes out of that, Bob, and it's really simple to me, and that is that you basically have a situation of where it's training camp, so everybody's great. If you've read the coverage out of training camp, all of the corners are unbelievable. The receivers are going to set everybody up. Justin Fields looks like he might be, you know, the second coming. That's the other thing I always get out of training camp, and I always say to myself, why do we have to cover everything with such hyperbole all the time? Like, you know.
Well, normally the Pirates aren't involved in anything, so therefore it becomes, what else are you going to do?
Right.
Now they are. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I've learned a lot from, I mean, I've done preseason games with the Steelers and Charlie, and before him, Edmund Nelson, before him, Jack Ham, for over 20 years. And I know that you could be deceived by what you see sometimes in the preseason. And last year is the perfect example of that, when Kenny Pickett lit it up with 5 possessions, 5 touchdowns, and everybody thought this is going to be something extremely special, and it never did work out to that degree at all. And now that whole thing has changed completely. So, you know, you go through it, you see what you got. I think it's important to see guys like Fatanu play. I think all these young guys, Frazier at center, all these people they brought in, they got to have roles, and they better, you know, step up pretty quickly.
No question. Absolutely no question.
But that doesn't mean I'm going to believe everything I see up there one day to the next. Because one day, if Justin Fields looks really good, the next day he could look very bad. And then defensive backs who get burned one day come up with plays the next day. So what are you to conclude there?
Well, I mean, I think that's the key. That's the key is when you analyze it from afar, you have to remember they're playing against each other, you know? And I had to laugh because I had to laugh because it was one of those things where if a guy's doing really well at receiver, it means your corner's not doing very well.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And if a guy's doing really well at corner, it means your receiver's probably not doing very well. You know?
Well, Dante Johnson, the guy they brought in, for Deontay Johnson, was making an interception of Justin Fields the other day. Okay, but then Fields can go down the field and make a big completion. Again, right. it's you need to go through these repetitions. It's very important for the players and the coaches. But for observing it and trying to make a conclusion, you just can't. You're going to have to go through preseason games and see where they are so that on September the 8th, when they kick this thing off in Atlanta, they have the best available people out there.
Right. So we'll see now. The position battles, it sounds like Broderick Jones, at least for now, is going to start out at the right tackle.
That means that Dan Moore is going to be at left tackle. But I don't believe that. I think at the beginning of the season, you will see Broderick Jones at left tackle and Troy Fontano at right tackle. I think he strikes me as someone who's ahead of the game over there. He's played a lot out in Washington. He has a better run of games, and I think you'll see him eventually be that. I think they're doing that because, number one, Moore's a veteran, right? And Mike Tomlin likes to push those veterans and make the young guys earn it if you're going to get it. But I don't think it'll stand up at the beginning of the season.
Well, I mean, I think that's the key. It's one of those things where it's just going to be interesting to see how long they make him wait. Because Broderick Jones started, about the fourth week or fifth week last year, something like that?
Yeah, that's when Chooks got in trouble for something. I don't know exactly what it was. And then he never played again, and now he's no longer here.
Yeah, well, nevertheless, Bob, I know you've got to start to think about getting out of here. What, are you golfing or what are you
going to do? No. Something I got to do.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
No, I wish it was. It wasn't.
Well,
that
we
at
talked
all.
About. We've got our golf expert here, Paul Nussbaum. Who does
Paul can play. I've read the reports. I see the gin, and I'm not talking about gin like gin in a glass.
Right.
I'm talking about the gin score.
So,
what is yours, by the way, Paul?
It's ugly right now. It's like 20-ish, probably. If you look me up, probably about 20-ish.
And Paul, what are you? 7.5. There you go.
Wow.
Means he's making a lot of putts.
7.5. That's what you are, Bob, right?
No, I'm 13 right now.
Wow.
I'm struggled. And again, it's mostly short game. And until short game gets fixed, it's never going to change it. You can hit the ball as much as you want, but you can't score unless you reduce the amount of shots you take from 100 yards and in. And I'm making too many.
Well, that's the thing that I've found, honestly. Like, I was way, I got all the way up to like an 11, but now I just don't have enough time to play. So I'm probably back to like a 20. I haven't looked at, I think it's like 20-ish. But for a while, I was trending towards towards 30.
Well, I have this recurring problem that drives me nuts because I've played this game long enough to know that when you don't hit the putt to the hole, it will not go in.
Right.
Short putts will never go in, although Yogi Berra said 95% of them won't. No, 100% never get. Why is it that most average golfers seem to not get the ball to the hole? The opposite of that is going by 3 feet. If I'm going to leave myself 2 feet short, I'd rather go 3 feet by and have the same thing, basically, and give it a shot, right? Do you do that a lot?
Yeah, that's where I lose a lot of strokes in putting. But where I've been able to start to save strokes is actually my short game. I've decided I'm not good enough to go pin hunting. So I just
be
try,
smart. Go,
I
go
just
green
try and
hunting.
Hit to the middle of the green.
Right. Green hunting will get you there.
Even if I have a 25-foot putt, at least I'm not pulling any other club up. That's helped a little bit. It really is. So, now the big thing is I got to get better at putting. And, I've gotten to the point where I at least get my drive in. If you're trying, it sounds like a very low standard, it is, but when you can eliminate all of those penalty strokes off of the tee, and you can eliminate some of the strokes around the green. Now I'm to the point where if I just tighten up a little bit with my putts, and I'll give you a great example. As I told you, I went up with Greg Gattuso. We played Saratoga National up in near Albany where he's at. It's a really unbelievable course, hard course. But I shot a 91. Okay.
That's good.
And I could point to 5 putts that if I was good, I make 3 of, if someone that's really good makes all 5 of them, short putts that you should make more than you miss. I missed 5 of them. So I make 3 of those 5. Now I'm at 88 or whatever, what I'm saying? And it's getting there. I'm getting back a little bit of
time.
It's
the easiest way to shave shots off your game is making putts.
Right.
Don't 3 putt, don't waste them on a green. It's the easiest thing to say. It's a hard thing to do.
Right. So,
but pin hunting will never help you. It's better just put it on the green, take your medicine, don't make mistakes. Pin hunting will leave you in bad situations in sand traps or high rough where you really will mess up your score.
The other thing is, I've also realized you'd rather be on the front of the, at the front of the green than go too far.
Well, it depends on the green. If it's
almost
going,
everyone, if you're on the front of the green, you're still the cup is still facing you.
Unless you have a false front. Then it rolls back into the fairway. Now you got a tight lie chip shot, which can lead to disaster.
If you have a really, really fall hard harsh, I agree with that. But for the most part, if you go too far, it's hard coming back at a green from behind, I think. So yeah. I always err on the side of short. All right, you got to get out of here, and I got to get Paul out of here.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So anyway, we're back and let's see where we're at here. Fantex Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You know, City Limits, I just thought about something here. We're going to have to handle the Derek Shelton show without Joe again.
Actually, I think Joe is back tomorrow.
I thought he was back Wednesday.
I thought he was back Wednesday, too, but according to the schedule in here, he's back tomorrow.
Well, that would be an interesting twist. But I was going to say, if he's not, that would be like four out of the last six that we've had to handle without him.
We get Shelton 6 hours before the trade deadline.
Yeah.
That's going to be fascinating.
Yeah.
Now, he can't answer the questions that Ben Cherington can, but at the same point, in the same breath, I mean, you'd have to think that there's got to be some sense of urgency for him as well, too, right? I mean, who is in more of a safer spot right now, Derek Shelton or Ben Cherington? Or do you think they're a package deal, like they stay, they go,
well,
no matter what happens?
They're a package deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm with that. I kind of agree with that. And at the same token, we don't know how long Derek Shelton's contract lasts. We don't know. He might have 2 more years. He might have 1 more year after this. I mean, we had no idea.
Yeah. I mean, again, I just have to tell you, if Shelton, if they have a 500 record, I think they're both safe.
I think so too.
And actually, I think if they're close to 500, they might both be safe. I think the only,
if they end up completely free falling,
right, that would be the only way there might be something revisited.
Right.
But I think if they win 78 or more games, they're going to be, well, we made progress. Or what did they win last year? 75,
76.
76?
I don't think 78 would be enough.
I think it would. I think you way overestimate how motivated Bob Nutting is to move on from these two.
Yeah, not at all. Seems very comfortable.
He seems to be very comfortable. So as long as they don't, if they win 75, 74 games, then we could be talking about a problem. But if they get to like 78, 79 wins or whatever, we made progress. We won three or four more games. We're closer. Next year, our rotation is set up. Hooray! Right?
Yeah, let's celebrate next year's potential.
Right.
When you could have traded for Jazz Chisholm and had him for next year, right, or Brent Rooker and had him for next year as well.
Right. But that's the whole point. And so it's just one of those things. It's one of those things where I don't know that people are going to get what they want. I think people that want a trade to be made, I mean, I'm not one of those people that want a trade just to make a trade. You know what I'm saying? There
right.
are some people, I think any trade that's announced, they'll be happy with because, hey, they made a trade.
They got somebody.
Right.
But it has to be the right move. And it doesn't have to be a home run, slam dunk type
no.
of thing.
No.
But don't go and get, I think Tommy Pham's an okay addition, but don't go get Lane Thomas because, well, we got to do something or whoever the extra outfielder is that Tampa Bay wants to ship off. They've already traded, what, 9 players? Whoever else right. they have left, well, we made a deal. We tried our best. We got something.
I'll give you a great example. Taylor Ward. Okay? Do I think Taylor Ward is Wade Boggs or Tony Gwynn? No. But he does have 16 home runs and 51 runs batted in. He does have an OPS that's actually pretty good. And he is a guy that, okay, I think he's a guy that would be an upgrade over, and I keep calling it because it's easier to say this than say all of their names, what I call the black hole of Pirates outfielders. All those guys I named off before, right? So if you go get a guy like Taylor Ward, okay, he's batting .227, but he's got a slugging of .401.
He hit .181 in June. He's hitting .169 in July.
Well, and he's still batting, you know, he's still 16 home runs, 51 RBI. Look at his numbers overall, because again, we don't do small sample sizes. We do all overall. His numbers are an improvement over what they have. I'd be okay with a guy with 16 home runs coming in here, especially since the fact that he did struggle for a month tells me that he's probably due to start going back towards the norm.
Well, he seemingly has had the opposite effect of Rowdy Tellez, who was bad the first 2 months right. and then has been great the next 2 months, where Ward was great the first 2 months with 19 RBIs in April, and in May he drove in, 11? And then the last 2 months, he's been the equivalent of Rowdy Tellez over the first 2 months. In these last two.
Well, again.
Which has not been good.
He hasn't been great, but here's the thing. If you look at his overall numbers, and you look at what he generally is going to do for you, right? .227 would be by far his lowest batting average since he's become mostly a regular. Which means he's likely to move back the other way and start hitting again. His on-base percentage would be by far his lowest one right now. His slugging would be by far his lowest. His OPS, obviously, because of those other two, is low. But at the end of the day, what he's doing this year, he would be an improvement. I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with Brent Rooker. I'd be okay with even, De La Cruz or whatever his name is from Florida. There are some guys that could make this team better in the area that they need to get better. And I don't care what the cost is. I don't. If they're able to get one of these guys and they don't have to give up any of their, their good major league players, I don't care who they give up from their system. You know, people will argue and debate and they'll yell about what, you know, they gave up this guy or they gave up that guy. I can't believe it's such an overpay. Why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? I don't care about that, Austin. I want them to be a better team because they shave some of those guys out of the black hole
right
into oblivion and add an outfielder or two and maybe a reliever. That's all that's what I'm saying is I want them to add, you know, probably I would say two outfielders or an outfielder and a utility guy that can play infield, outfield, one of those guys that, but two guys that are better hitters than what they have and one reliever.
Well, you're also potentially going to need an infielder that can bounce around a little bit because who's playing second base right now? Jared Triolo? 0 for 5 last night. Jared Triolo not doing nearly enough offensively in the last whole season, really.
Triolo.
I mean, you're going to put Alika Williams out there at second base?
You've got Triolo. You've got.
Well, yeah, it's bad.
We had somebody
with Nick Gonzalez hurt and on the IL.
We had someone at the front desk. There's someone there waiting for something to be signed. As a delivery guy, I just feel like, you know, that's something that triggers me. So could you send the IT out there to sign this?
IT is currently podcasting.
What is he doing? What is he doing? Why don't you run out there and sign for it real quick?
I don't think that's within my pay grade to do that.
Who can do that?
The front desk people, the promotions people, and the people that are in charge of the supplies and HR and stuff like that.
Now we got a sales guy there. He should sign. All you got to do is sign a thing. They don't even care. They just need a signature. It looks like he's trying to sign for it. Maybe. I don't know. I'm about ready to end this segment and run out there. Listen, I've been a delivery guy. One of the worst things you can do to somebody who's a delivery person is make them wait.
Yeah.
Do you know why?
Well, they're probably in a rush already as it is, dropping off
right
35 different packages at places and just continually probably not. I mean, were you very pleased with your job when you were going through it? Dude, being a delivery guy, did you like that job?
It didn't bother me. What bothered me were the people that acted like taking 8 seconds away from whatever they're doing to sign so I can get the hell out of their store or whatever. Those people always annoyed me.
Yeah.
And I actually had this discussion with one of them because every day I would come in and, you know, she would be so busy sitting there doing this and that and her thing. So finally I said, you know, listen, when I come in, can you just sign this so I can get out of here? She's like, well, I'll usually only make you wait 2 or 3 minutes. To which I say, okay, good. I have about 32 stops to make. If every one of them made me wait 3 minutes, that's like 96 to 100 extra minutes on my day. So if I asked you to sit there for 96 minutes or 100 minutes more every day and you don't get paid for it, would you want to do that?
Absolutely not. Now, were those days determined by how quickly you delivered all the packages, or was it like an 8-hour span where you worked from this time to that time?
The number of packages the number of stops you had, right? The route was built for a certain time period. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know, in other words, you know, the route that I happened to do was a 4-hour route, right? So if everybody treated me like you do, now it's a 5.5-hour route, but I'm only getting paid for 4. So when you see delivery guys and they're running in and out of buildings, that's why. Because, and some like FedEx and UPS guys, they're on a clock. Like, you know, the little computer thing that they have, like they sign, you know, that you sign or whatever. I mean, it's registering every stop they make and they're on a clock.
And how long they're there.
And they're on a clock. And so my thing with that is don't make somebody stand here and wait for 3 or 4 minutes. Whoever walks through the door can sign the thing. Whoever's there can sign the thing. And let her go. Now, thankfully, the sales guy decided he was going to sign.
There you go.
So she's gone.
So she's not going to be angry like you on Twitter.
No. I would still be. Yes.
That's one of my favorite clips all time.
Well, I think that there are people that ask, well, you seem to be able to relate to so many people. Like, you seem to be able to go anywhere and have great conversations with people and relate to people. Why? I'll tell you why. Because I've done a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
That's why.
You have done a lot of different jobs.
I've done a lot of jobs. And so I know the challenges that people have. I also know that, you know what, doesn't matter what job you have. I've worked in corporate America. I've worked in blue-collar America. I've worked for small businesses, worked for big businesses, worked for, you know, whatever. People are people. So these people that, like, they treat other people differently because they're from a different walk of life, I don't understand that. I never will.
Yeah, that never made sense to me, you know. All cut from the same cloth, and the problems with just, I don't know, common courtesy, I feel like, should just be an exact thing that happens all the time.
You know,
but it doesn't.
I met a guy the other day who cuts trees for a living, right? He's got a business where he goes around and he cuts trees. And I talked to him for a little bit, and it was actually very fascinating. And the other part of it is, the fascinating part of it is just how busy he is. Because you say to yourself, well, I mean, how many people could be out there that need trees cut? But it's not just people. It's corporations. It's cities. It's towns. It's boroughs. It's, you know what I mean? Like, they need trees removed. So at this time of year, when the weather's like this, he's just working ridiculously hard and ridiculous, you know what I mean, long hours and all that other stuff. That to me is the fabric of what makes this country great. People like that, you know what I mean? That just work, go to work every day, figure out how to get it done. You know?
Yeah, those carpenters.
Whatever. I mean, you know, to me, so I think that there are some people in this country who look down at service industry people or waiters or waitresses, you know what I mean? Or delivery guys. And to me, I think those are the people that really, you know, they're hustling. They're working. You should respect those people more.
Yeah, the texters are letting you know. Matt in the Amazon truck said it's his biggest pet peeve. Every second means something. Big pet peeve for him. And somebody else says that FedEx is not on the clock. We get paid a daily rate.
Yeah.
So just some perspective, well, easy for me to say, on the text line.
Well, again, a friend of mine is a FedEx driver. When I say on the clock, what I mean is, They got to get these packages. They got to get them in and out quick.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because part of FedEx's shtick is, you know, we're going to deliver it in a timely manner. And so they all have different, you know, there's all different ways that they can say, oh, well, you're, you know, either way, the bottom line is, if you have a delivery route, it's timed out for your shift, whatever your shift is. And so if there are people that are delaying you, because they don't have the courtesy to say, okay, I got 8 seconds. It's going to take me 5 seconds. And actually, here was my thing. I'll even put the little board with the pen right down so you don't even have to look up. Just grab it and scribble something so I can get out of there. You know? That's what I'm going to tell you. So I just feel like it's, it looks like, I don't know, the Reds made a deal. I don't know if it's a,
yeah, Ty France was just traded to Cincinnati for, I think, a minor league catcher.
Yeah.
France is a former All-Star with Seattle in 22. And, I mean, he's okay. They also took on some cash in the deal. He's making about $6 million this season, has one more year of club control left.
Right.
Just a little bit short of $7 million. Decent player, 8 homers, 31 RBIs in 88 games. He's only batting .223, though.
Well, again, I think that's the thing. So now somebody, here's another name someone was throwing around. And you talked about him, Pham. Tommy Pham.
Yeah, with the White Sox.
So
on a cheap deal.
He was very cheap. And I could be wrong, and it's why, you know, I have to look at it real quick. I could be wrong, but my recollection of Tommy Pham from all those years with St. Louis is he didn't hit very well.
No, he was average. I mean, he bounced around a couple of different places. San Diego. He was on the Diamondbacks last year in their run to the World Series and was very good for them.
Right.
And he's the leadoff hitter for the White Sox. We're not talking about Jazz Chisholm or Luis Robert type of difference maker, impactful guy, but he would definitely become one of the better hitters in the lineup. He's better than Jack Suwinski. He's better than Michael A. Taylor.
Right.
And he's better than Edward Olivares. And he's probably better than Palacios, who's just a fourth outfielder. Good player, but a fourth outfielder.
So he's
an upgrade over everyone.
He's 266, 330, 380. I mean,
it's better than what you have.
No power at all. Five home runs. But
no, he's a doubles guy. Has some speed as well.
Has a little bit of speed. And what's he done here? Let's see. Six stolen bases. Yeah. I mean, here's my thing with Tommy Pham. It feels like you could get him for almost nothing, right?
Yeah, a lottery ticket, A-ball player.
I mean, I don't even know what it would take to get a guy like Tommy Pham. I could live with it, you know, but he's the classic example of the guy that... So it cost you about $3 million, I think, right?
I don't even think that much.
Yeah, let me look at his deal, actually. His most up-to-date deal. Yeah. I got it. $2.5 million is what he's making. So it cost you about $1.5 million.
About $1 million. Not even that. I mean, we're 60 games left.
Right. That's what it would cost you. So I don't think that's that big of a deal.
No, that's a deal that I would make 100%. I mean, they already demoted Jack Suwinski.
Right.
Who's going to take that spot?
And I think that's the thing that, again, I'm not going to be happy with just any deal. But that's the kind of deal that makes you better. And so...
It's not a needle mover. It doesn't make you stand up and clap and say, congratulations, great job, Ben Cherington. It's still something. I mean, nobody thought that when Jay Happer...
Right.
...that he was going to be that good. And then he turns out to be the second best pitcher in all of baseball that year other than Jake Arrieta for the second half?
I mean, I think that's the thing about it. You have to really think about it. They've made some deals where they've got some guys that people were like, who the hell is this guy? And then he turned into something, and then they made some deals for guys like Justin Morneau, who, you know, really didn't do a whole lot when he was here. But everyone was excited when they got him. I just think, again, you have to make sure that you're getting a player that's going to help you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.